Three Arkansas teenagers accused of the murder of Kevin Thornton of Juneau say their cases should be dismissed. 16-year-old Timothy Tyler Norwood, 16-year-old Clinton LaVon Ross, and 17-year-old Richard Shelby Wybark are charged with second-degree murder and aggravating count of violent group activity. Their case has been filed in Hot Spring County Circuit Court, and they're to be tried as adults. The 19-year-old Thornton was visiting in the Malvern, Arkansas area in July when he was attacked while walking along a road with a friend. He died from his injuries July 27th in a Little Rock hospital. Hot Spring County Sheriff's investigators called it a random assault. Four boys were initially arrested in the case. Charges have subsequently been dropped against a 14-year-old. In motions filed with the court late last week, attorneys for each of the three defendants argue the murder charges were incorrectly filed in criminal court. They say the Arkansas law allowing a juvenile to be charged in adult criminal court is unconstitutional, as well as cruel and unusual punishment, because the juvenile charged with a capital murder can be subject to life sentence without parole. The motions ask the judge to dismiss the case, or failing that, transfer the case to juvenile court. Motions were also filed Thursday to suppress statements made by each boy to law enforcement officials. Attorneys argue the teenagers were not adequately advised of their rights when they were taken into custody. A judge will consider the motions today. A grand jury indictment indicates all three boys waived their rights in writing with a parent present and were interviewed by a Hot Spring County Sheriff's investigator. 15 years after a woman died from a shotgun blast at a Yakutat Lodge, state cold case investigators say they now have enough evidence to prosecute the man responsible for homicide. They say a Juneau grand jury has returned with an indictment against 50-year-old Robert D. Kowalski, charging him for first and second degree murder. The case has not yet been assigned to a particular judge, but bail, according to Alaska state troopers, was set at $1 million. Troopers believe that Kowalski, then a Washington state resident, moved to Yakutat for a vacation with his then girlfriend, 39-year-old Sandra M. Perry. The incident, initially reported as an accidental shooting, was at the Glacier Bear Lodge in July of 1996. Kowalski was 35 years old at the time. Troopers say that a man staying in the next room at the lodge reported hearing an argument and then a gunshot, followed by silence. Kowalski told troopers that he armed himself with a shotgun after he and Perry heard a bear outside of their room. But Kowalski said that the shotgun discharged when he got up after tripping onto the bed and falling on top of Perry. Kowalski was never charged for Perry's death. The prosecutor assigned to the case apparently determined there was not enough evidence then to disprove Kowalski's claim of an accidental shooting. The Alaska Bureau of Investigation's cold case unit reviewed the Yakutat incident after Kowalski was convicted in Montana of killing his girlfriend there, 45-year-old Lorraine K. Marin. The Kalispell Daily Interlake newspaper in Montana reported that the March 2008 incident included the arrest of Kowalski after a 31-hour standoff at his home that involved SWAT teams from three jurisdictions. The gun used in the shooting was recovered from his home. Kowalski told investigators the gun accidentally went off as he was falling backward into a chair. In a plea deal, prosecutors agreed to dismiss deliberate homicide charges and recommended Kowalski serve 50 years in Montana State Prison with 10 years suspended and no restrictions on his parole. It's unclear what kind of evidence the investigators dug up that prompted them to take the case to a grand jury. Alaska investigators say they've initiated proceedings to extradite Kowalski so that he can face murder charges here. Juneau's garbage collection company wants to barge recyclables and garbage south. Alaska Pacific Environmental Services, operating as Arrow Refuse, says it will offer curbside recycling and barge all solid waste to the Pacific Northwest. The company will not renew its contract with Capital Disposal Landfill when it expires in December. Waste Management currently operates the landfill. The city has been looking for a solution to its growing landfill, but officials say they were surprised by Arrow Refuse's plans. We'll have more details tomorrow on Morning Edition. A meeting on rare earth minerals drew a big crowd in Fairbanks on Friday. The state-sponsored Strategic and Critical Minerals Summit brought together government, industry, and research officials to discuss Alaska's rare earth potential. The minerals are in high demand by technology industries to make everything from batteries to sensors and other electronic components. China currently controls the market, but Alaska is said to have an abundance of rare earths. Governor Sean Parnell told the 250 conference attendees that the state wants to compete.
Alaska has accepted the challenge where China said we're going to curtail exports and we're going to try to control that market even more and save them for ourselves. Alaska is accepting the challenge of saying we've got them here. We want to provide them to our nation and to the world beyond as well.
Alaska is spending millions of dollars to survey and catalog rare earth mineral sites in the state. There are about 70 known already, including Mount Prindle north of Fairbanks and Bokan Mountain near Ketchikan. The Bokan prospect, which is being investigated by a private company, contains dysprosium, a metal used to make electronic parts in high demand by the auto industry. Jack Lifton of Illinois-based Technology Metals Research, an authority on rare earth metals, laid out a plan by which Alaska could develop an in-state rare earth industry with the resource at Bokan Mountain.
We'll start producing alloys by joint venturing with the Great Western Minerals Company, which is already producing these alloys in the UK and has a plant in Detroit that's idle for lack of feedstock. And then we'll invite General Electric and everybody else like that to make electric motors and generators in Alaska, because that's the only way they're going to get their hands on the raw material. Okay? And suddenly, Americans are making all this stuff, and you don't have to worry about, and the Chinese can do what they want. Who cares?
Lifton stressed the importance of developing a complete industry from mining to processing and manufacturing of electronic components. Tomorrow is Election Day here in Juneau, and the polls open at 7 o'clock, but voters can still cast absentee and early ballots today at City Hall downtown or in the Valley at the Mendenhall Mall polling station. Early voting for the municipal election has been steady but slow, according to City Clerk Lori Sika. She says the last count was done on Wednesday when 175 fewer voters than last year had cast early and absentee ballots. Three Juneau Assembly and two school board seats are up for election. One Citizens Initiative and four other measures are on the ballot tomorrow. The Assembly area-wide seat is the biggest contest with three candidates, Jenny Del Rosario, Lauren Jones, and Carlton Smith. Two candidates, Brad Flitch and Jesse Keel, are running for the District 1 seat, and Randy Wanamaker is unopposed for District 2. While Juneau Assembly districts mirror the city and borough's seats for State House, the Assembly is elected area-wide, and Sika explains.
We vote area-wide in Juneau, so every voter in Juneau can vote for every candidate on the ballot. There's no restriction. And the candidates themselves have to live in the district. It was the idea of the Assembly when they wrote the charter that they would have some assurance that not all the candidates came from downtown or not all the candidates come from the Valley or Douglas. So that was just one way to make sure that there was some representation from different parts of the community.
Five issues are on this year's ballot. Proposition 1 would change financial reporting requirements for Juneau public officials, Assembly, School Board, and Planning Commission, as well as the City Manager. Instead of filing with the Alaska Public Offices Commission, they would file less detailed forms with the CBJ. The major difference is that the amount and source of income over $1,000 would not have to be reported. Proposition 2 calls for an extension of Juneau's 3% sales tax. It covers police, fire, ambulance service, street maintenance and improvements, as well as some city operations, public services, and youth activities. Proposition 3 would authorize the sale of $1.4 million in general obligation bonds for a new heating system in Auk Bay Elementary School. Proposition 4 calls for just under $1.2 million in bonds for a new athletic field at Adair Kennedy Park. And Proposition 5 is a citizens' initiative aimed at reducing the use of plastic bags. It would impose a 15-cent tax on each plastic shopping bag provided by Juneau's largest retailers, Safeway, Walmart, Home Depot, and Fred Meyer. Once again, the polls open tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning. They close at 8 o'clock. Election Central this year will be in the Assembly Chambers at City Hall downtown.